You might have heard my interview last week with Kyo Doherty, a McGill student involved with the drafting of McGill's first policy on sexual assault. This week...
Hello?
I speak with Andre Kostopoulos.
So I'm Andre Kostopoulos, Dean of Students.
He's been involved in this process too, but on the side of faculty and administrators. Dean Kostopoulos ended up working with students on this policy after a series of events at McGill that brought a lot of attention to the issue of sexual assault. To start with, on November 1st of last year, the Montreal Gazette, a major city newspaper, published an article saying that three McGill football players were being charged with sexually assaulting a student at another university. The article said that this had happened 2 years before, in 2011. The article also claimed that the university football coach had been informed of the rape allegations after the students were arrested in 2012, and that the paper had contacted McGill in the weeks after the attack happened. In spite of all of this, the football players continued to play on the team and to go to the university. When this information came out, there was a pretty big public outcry, and McGill's deputy provost of student life and learning, Olivier Dien, responded by saying, and this is a quote, "It didn't happen on the McGill campus, and she wasn't a McGill student, so there was no way for us to know about it."
There was no way for us to know about it.
So the university was basically saying, we're going to wait for the results of the trial before deciding if the football players should be charged under the student's code of conduct. The problem with this for some people was that by the time the case went to trial, the football players would have graduated. So, in response to this, the Sexual Assault Center at McGill released a statement condemning McGill's dismissive response. There was another huge public outcry, and that one got a lot of press too. And McGill started to backtrack pretty quickly, it seemed. They hired a full-time harm reduction coordinator, supported a massive campaign on consent, and with the involvement of students and student groups, started writing a policy for the university on sexual assault. Dean Kostopoulos is involved with this project, which is still going on. I wanted to ask the dean about what had happened, though, the first time. Why was the initial response at McGill so dismissive? The university's perspective on rape culture seems to have done pretty much a 180, but what happened that first day? But before I could ask...
So the code of conduct, the code of student conduct at McGill very specifically applies to events in a McGill context.
Right.
So it says that in the code, and so it's useful for us to deal with incidents that occur on campus, for example, and with members of our community. Mm-hmm. It's not designed to deal with incidents off campus that don't involve members of our community. So that creates some difficulty. But of course, the Code of Student Conduct is only one tool that we have, and it doesn't apply to all contexts. But there are other authorities, such as police and courts, that deal with other incidents that occur outside of our context.
Right. Okay. And it's interesting you would say that, because in the weeks following this uproar, McGill actually responded again, saying, we're taking sexual assault very seriously.
Yeah.
From what I hear, you came up with several solutions to the problem of sexual assault on campus.
Several solutions. Well, I don't know if you can call them solutions to the issue of sexual assault on campus. Certainly, we do take it very seriously, and we're committed to building a safe, inclusive community that's based on mutually respectful interactions that include consent. So consent has become a big focus, I think, for us. Last year, we had the Forum on Consent that brought together people from a number of different segments of the population, from students and professors and administrative staff members, to discuss this concept of consent and how we use it, how we build it. And now we're following up with a campaign on consent that's going to launch in mid-October, I think, that Bianca is working on very, very hard.
Here he's referring to the newly hired harm reduction coordinator, Bianca Tetro.
With a lot of other people, including lots of student organizations. And we've been working with student organizations on a proposed policy, sexual assault policy, for McGill, and we've been working quite hard on that, and we're making a lot of progress, actually.
Just a reminder at this point. A couple of minutes ago, Dean Kostopoulos was telling me that the student code of conduct shouldn't be used to deal with events that happen off campus or have to do with non-McGill students. There are police and courts that should handle this, he says. But just now, the dean has told me how happy he is with the progress that's been made in the drafting of a new sexual assault policy. Here are the inconsistencies. The dean maintains that it would not have been appropriate to use the student code of conduct to hold accountable the students accused of sexual assault. There are courts and police to deal with that, and the university doesn't want to get involved, he says. But the recent actions of the university, in the wake of this PR problem, suggest that it does want to deal with sexual assault, and in a very comprehensive way. McGill hosts a forum on consent, a harm reduction coordinator is hired full-time, and work starts on the sexual assault policy that would allow students to be held accountable for sexual assault by the school. Now don't get me wrong, I'm glad sexual assault is being addressed by the university. And maybe it'll take some time for these inconsistencies to work out as McGill tries to strike a balance between managing its reputation and taking real action. The thing is, why not be transparent from the beginning? Why not admit that McGill's initial dismissive response wasn't the right one? Will there be any repercussions for the poor handling of this case? And really, how can we trust an institution that won't admit fault?
Coordinating our efforts to build a safe and respectful community. How about that?
Great. Now I'd like to turn to some more recent news.
Yep.
In July, the CBC released some information that one of these accused football players was working at a McGill sports camp with children between the ages of 6 and 15.
Those were the media reports, yes.
Yeah, that's what was reported.
Yeah.
The day following this initial report, it was announced that he was no longer going to be at the camp. McGill Provost Anthony Massey released a statement. He called the fact that this person had been hired a, quote, lapse in judgment. So you don't speak for Provost Massey, but I was hoping you could explain this a little bit more. Because I don't really understand the logic here. It seems like the players on the McGill football team were innocent until proven guilty. They were allowed to finish their studies at the school. But in the case of this sports camp, this person is being treated as if he's guilty until proven innocent.
So we can, without abandoning the principle of innocent until proven guilty, we can take measures, reasonable measures, administratively defensible measures, based on the information available to us. And in some cases, our codes and our procedures allow us to act quickly without compromising the assumption of innocence, which is crucial, of course, but we also have to a responsibility to the community. So we always have to balance our responsibility to the individual under allegation and our responsibility to the community.
For CKUT in Montreal, I'm Camille Baker.